What up, party people? It's that time of the week again. Welcome to episode number 6 of the Believe in Mavs podcast. I'm your host, Ron Sarajan. Now let's just jump right into it. So the way that we left things off last week, I said the Mavs have an easier schedule ahead of them, and the only people that are getting in their way is themselves. They are losing to lesser competition and teams that they really should be getting easy wins against, namely the Sacramento Kings of the world. But they were able to right that ship by getting wins against the Detroit Pistons and a beatdown Los Angeles Lakers team that they needed to beat because they were directly ahead of them in the standings. So then we come into this week, and the Mavs have the Sacramento Kings twice to kind of avenge that loss. They also have games against the Warriors and the Pistons and the Wizards. So it's not the hardest part of their schedule by far. So we go into that Kings game, and this Mavs team, you know, they had the motivation of the playoffs in front of them. They have seeding to worry about. They had this Kings team that they have a chance to avenge that loss to. And they lose 113 to 106. I am just as confused as you. This Mavs team is better than this Kings team. The Kings are not even in playoff contention right now. When you think of the teams that the Mavs lose to, you're kind of assuming it's going to be against, you know, Western Conference powerhouses like the Jazz and the Clippers, even the Lakers when they're healthy. These teams make sense. The fact that they can't get over the hump against this Sacramento Kings team is just, it's puzzling to say the least. This first game against the Kings, KP was out. Again, he has a lingering ankle issue to go along with a plethora of other injuries. At this point, it's a laundry list of issues that I can't even keep up with anymore. It's almost become expected that KP's going to be out of the lineup. It's almost like a pleasant surprise when he actually does play. And, you know, I don't want to harp on that too much. You know, there's only so much you can do. I don't think he's faking these injuries or anything like that. And I don't think it makes him any less tougher of a player because he can't play through a sprain. I mean, come on. But it's bothersome to know that the guy who's the highest paid player on your team is the one who plays the least. But you look at this game, you know, Luka did what he could, but it was an inefficient night. He did have his 24, 7, and 8, but he did on 40% shooting and 33% from three. It's kind of an ugly game. Same thing with Tim Hardaway. He was the next best scorer, but he did it on 8 of 20 shooting. Like, when your team, who is, their game is predicated on spacing and hitting down jump shots, when those shots aren't falling, it can be ugly. And the Kings just seem to know how to exploit that for the Mavs. They always seem to bring out their worst shooting nights, and they always seem to capitalize on it. But the Mavs, they turned around. Next night, they could have let things get really bad. I mean, you look at that game, that after they play against the Kings, they have a motivated Warriors team. And make no bones about it. This is a motivated Warriors team. They have the playoffs well within striking distance. Like I said, Steph Curry gets hot on any given night. And yet the Mavs come out and give them one of the biggest beatings they've had all season. I don't think it's a coincidence that some of the biggest halftime deficits that you've seen this year have come at the hands of the Mavs. Because when they're hot, there's almost no team like them. The Mavs were up by almost 40 in this first half. It was hard to watch if you're a Golden State fan. But if you're a Mavs fan, it's frustrating because you can see how good this team can be. When they're striking on all cylinders, they're borderline unstoppable. And they did this all without Porzingis even playing. Luka had the rest of the team doing their part, but he, of course, he led the way. 39.6 rebounds, 8 assists, and he did it on 15 of 23 shooting. This is as good of a game as you can ask of Luka. He killed it. And then they get a paint-by-numbers win over the Pistons. Porzingis comes back in this game, but Luka is the one that actually sits out with an injury. Porzingis didn't really do much. It was 11 points. And without Luka, you're worried, can this Mavs team hold up? In fact, you know, even though Porzingis came back, he actually had to lead the game with injury, of course. But then Tim Hardaway Jr. is the one that steps up. A career night, 42 points, 13 of 23 shooting, 6 of 10 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Hardaway was unstoppable. It's a 115-105 win against the Pistons. And honestly, even though it's a bad Pistons team, Luka out, KP leaving the game, this was very much an opportunity for the Mavs to just pack it in and let a lesser team beat them. But to their credit, they took it to them, even when they were not at full strength. I just hope that this means that Hardaway is going to be brought back next season, because he is proving alongside Josh Richardson to be a glue guy that on any given night can step up and fill in the role whenever there's that void left by Luka or KP. And then we go to the Wizards game. I kind of sarcastically said in the last episode that it's going to be a battle. But say what you will about the Wizards, they've been playing very good basketball. And you have to thank the Wizards, honestly, because the Wizards did everything that you could have asked of them from a Mavs fan this week. They beat the Lakers, and then they lose to the Mavs. So if you know anybody in the DC area this week, just give them a hug on my behalf, because they've helped the Mavs twofold. They helped them by hurting a conference foe, but still losing to them. But don't get me wrong, that wasn't an easy loss. They went down swinging. The Mavs only won this game by 1 point. A big reason for that is because, for as bad as this Wizards team is, I think people forget that Russell Westbrook is still that guy. And Bradley Beal has been killing it all year. Westbrook had a near triple-double, 42, 10, and 9. And Bradley had his 29 points. That's an underrated, sneakily good team. It just, they need a couple more pieces to bring it together. But the Wizards can beat any team in the NBA, and the Mavs still beat them. And they did it with Porzingis back out of the lineup. But Luka was the main reason. He's the big story of this game. Because even though Russell Westbrook's 42 point near triple-double was impressive, that wasn't even the storyline of the night. Luka with an incredible stat line of 31, 12 rebounds, and 20 assists. Luka becomes just the fourth player in NBA history to get a 30-point, 20-assist triple-double. The only other players are Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, and the man that Luka did it against, Russell Westbrook. That is elite company. And that just goes to show that Luka is rounding into form at the perfect time in the season. He's in killer mode. He has that tenacity, and it's resonating with the rest of the team. The Mavs are getting timely wins exactly when they need it, just as their conference foes are just free falling down. So I'm really happy to see this development in Luka's game. He's playing incredible, and that's saying a lot, you know. For Luka, we're so used to him playing in a different stratosphere every night. We've never seen any player like him. So when he does something exceptional, even for himself, that says a lot. And it's exciting as a fan. We're seeing the very best of Luka that we've seen yet. And this is somebody that was already in MVP consideration. So the Mavs are riding hot. They're on a good momentum swing. And then they have game number 3 against the Kings. And this one wasn't even as close as the last one. The Mavs lose by 12 in this game. 111 to 99. Why can we not beat the Sacramento Kings? I don't understand. We're better than them, right? But for some reason, this team is the Mavs' kryptonite. That's their Achilles heel. I mean, Luka doesn't have a bad game necessarily. He's 36 and 6 on 11 and 22 shooting. That's great. I mean, he's 1-7 from 3. That's not great. But there's nothing obvious that sticks out. The rest of the team kind of lagged. But Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, Rashawn Holmes, they all have great games. this is just a disappointing loss. And the good news for the Mavs is that they don't have to face Sacramento the rest of the year. But it's just, it's puzzling, right? That a team that's not actually good seems to be such a thorn in the Mavs side. But it reminds me of this story of Shaquille O'Neal. And Shaq would talk about the four players that gave him the most fits in his career. He would talk about Hakeem Olajuwon, of course. You know, the Dream gave Shaq the work in the post. Patrick Ewing, it's understandable. And David Robinson, which was probably one of the greatest big men scorers in the NBA. But the fourth player he names is Rick Smits. And that always confuses people when he talks about Smits. But, you know, he would say how good he was in the pick and pop, his jump hook in the post. It was impossible to stop him. And it seems like, you know, Rick Smits doesn't belong in that company. But it just goes to show, you know, certain players, even though they may not be objectively great, can be great against a better player if they play against their weaknesses. And I think that's the case with the Kings. They're not objectively a great team. But for a team like the Mavs that are supposed to be better than them, they just play to all the Mavs' weaknesses. They know how to attack the post. They grab rebounds. They're a team with length but can also shoot. It's just everything the Mavs' nightmare is. And so the Mavs, you kind of have to just shake that off. It's like, okay, there's going to be a bad team that we have to lose to. Okay, fine, let it be the Kings, as long as we're doing what the rest of the things that we need to. Luckily for the Mavs, I guess you can say luckily or unluckily, LeBron is back. He had his comeback, but he wasn't the same LeBron. He even admitted it as much. He said, I don't think I'll ever be back to being 100% ever again. Which, for the rest of the NBA, you breathe a sigh of relief because the LeBron of old is definitely a scary one and not one you want to face in the playoffs. But after one game back, he had to go right back to the bench, sitting this game out tonight. And Dennis Schroeder is actually going to be missing 10 to 14 games. So this Lakers team is very vulnerable right now, which is a good thing because as it stands, the Mavs had a good week. They went 3-2. But the Lakers have had a disastrous week. Even with LeBron return, they've lost three straight. And as it stands, the Mavs, the Lakers, and the Trailblazers are in a three-way tie at 36-28 for a record. Luckily for the Mavs, they break that three-way tie because they're the only team that actually leads their division. So let's go for the mediocre Southwest division. The Mavs right now are in fifth place. So if the season were to end today, they would stay right there and they would play against another team that's kind of on a cold streak, the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, I know many fans are kind of hoping for the Nuggets. I was somebody who's kind of advocating for that. You know, the Nuggets are going to be without Jamal Murray. The Mavs have already beaten them before. This is a team with weaknesses, even with the acquisition of Aaron Gordon, who's been great for this team, and Michael Porter Jr., who's getting hot at the right time, somebody I've always been high on. And they don't want to face that Clippers team because that was a team that led to the Mavs' demise in last year's playoffs. But the Nuggets and the Clippers are only a half game apart. That fourth and third seed can look very different near the end of the season. Meanwhile, the Mavs are on a really hot seat. It's scary to say, like, when they're sitting in fifth place, any loss can really drop them from fifth to conceivably seventh place. It just takes one bad night where the Lakers and the Trailblazers get their wins and the Mavs lose. So they can't take it for granted. This is not the time to take the foot off the pedal. For the Mavs schedule, the two toughest games for them the rest of the way are really, it's really front-ended for them in terms of the difficulty of their competition. The Heat and the Nets are the next two opponents. These are games they have to take seriously. And I think these games, these big primetime games, is where the Mavs step up. It's the games after them, a back-to-back slate against the Cavaliers. They get the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Raptors, and the Timberwolves to close it out. these are games that should be gimmies, but knowing the Mavs, they tend to take these games for granted. And these are essentially trap games. So do I think the Mavs will win against the Heat and the Nets? It can go either way. When the Mavs are dialed in, I feel like they can compete with any team in the NBA. And it will be a great litmus test for the Mavs because the Nets are basically the barometer for the rest of the NBA right now. They're the team to beat. But if the Mavs are not completely focused against the lesser teams like the Cavaliers, the Grizzlies, and the Timberwolves, and they find a way to lose those games, then maybe they don't deserve that 5 seed. It'd be really telling, though, moving forward, how things shake out. It's a very volatile spot that they're in right now. Like, the wind blows one way, the Mavs can be fourth place. The wind blows them, they can tumble out into the seventh seed and find themselves in that play-in format that we've gone into great lengths about why they shouldn't be in that spot. Really, right now, as it stands, the Mavs control their own destiny. You can really find yourself, forget about just in the fifth seed, you can find yourself in the sixth seed if the Lakers get hot. You can find yourself in the seventh seed and then lose to a Warriors or Spurs team. Both teams the Mavs have had struggles with. So on that note, Mavs fans, stay positive, but have some cautious optimism because this team has proven time and time again that they can oftentimes crumble when there's expectations. And right now, all I'm expecting is that anything could happen. I'll see you guys next week. Take care, God bless, and see you on the next episode on the Believe Podcast Network.